Welcome to the Choose Life Radio Network. Your host is Jill Taylor. Every week we bring you a candid conversation with someone who's making a difference for the cause of life. And now here's Jill to introduce today's guest on Choose Life Radio.
According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, in 2018, there was 750,000 people raped. That's twice the number from the previous year, 2017. Today, we'll find out the likelihood of those victims having abortions and those innocent unborn babies being executed for their crime. So welcome to Choose Life Radio. I'm your host, Jill Taylor. This is a very tough topic, and while I pray this isn't your story, it is the story of Serena Dykeson, our guest today. Serena, brave lady, thank you for joining us on Choose Life Radio.
Thank you so much, Jill, for having me on today. I don't want to say a pleasure, but it's definitely something that we need to talk about so that people know the truth, that there really is no exceptions to anyone with a rape story.
Yeah. You have shared your story over and over, and God's really blessed many people through you. Will you share a little bit about you, about where you grew up and what kind of family you have?
I grew up in Indiana. I grew up in a pretty broken home. And when I say broken, there was trauma. There was a lot of unhealed wounds. My parents were younger. We just moved around a lot. And so I didn't have a great foundation growing up. We just didn't have a lot of support. It was usually the four of us. And when our family faced crisis, it was a whole slew of different things that helped. And I don't want to say helped, but formed the decision that my parents made to take me for an abortion at 13 after being sexually assaulted from a family member. So basically, you know, my parents were just walking in a crisis looking for help, and that was the help that was unfortunately offered to our family.
So it was a family member who raped you?
Yes.
How did your parents handle that?
If you could put yourself in their shoes, I mean, they just found out that their 13-year-old daughter was sexually assaulted by someone that they trusted. So pretty much the world came to a crashing halt. My mom actually had been sexually assaulted as a young lady as well. And so I don't know if she ever went through counseling, but if you can imagine trauma on top of trauma and then finding out that your daughter has now also been sexually assaulted and facing an unplanned pregnancy, it was a pretty traumatic time in our family just trying to process that. You go through all these emotions. You feel like you failed your child, you didn't protect them, and what are you going to do now to protect them? And your daughter has a rapist baby, so what does that look like, and what does the world say? And the world would say, well, you know what, she's young, and this is a rape situation, so the world would say, you know what, go ahead and abort this baby. And you know what I can tell you from my personal story, trauma plus trauma just only adds to the trauma. It does not unrape a woman. It doesn't undo the rape. It just adds more trauma into her life.
Well, that makes perfect sense, really. You have gone through a very emotional turmoil, and then suddenly to have another really assault on your body is just unbelievable. So, but I love that you shared your parents didn't know what to do. Let's just put a word out there right now. Where can they go, Serena, if they have a situation like this?
Yes, absolutely. So if a parent is facing this situation, they can reach out to our organization, She Found His Grace, and we will help them get resources that they need. I feel like our family just didn't have resources offered to them. And as I've grown, as our organization has grown, I have found that it is harder for parents in this situation to find help for their family. And so we want to offer that help to them. We will help them with counseling. We will help them with anything, with the baby needs, any of that, we will help them with.
And say your website again.
SheFoundHisGrace.org.
That's a book that you ended up writing. We're going to talk about that later, but that's how you can remember. It is Serena's story. She found his grace. That's a wonderful, wonderful name for your organization and the ministry that you do. Now, tell me a little bit about the abortion itself. And as a 13-year-old, how did you handle that?
Yeah, so before we even got to the abortion clinic, I just remember them telling my mom that the people outside hated us and to walk in quickly. And I'm a trained sidewalk counselor, and I know that that is a lie that the clinic just gives the family so that they won't get any resources, any help. So I know that's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to the abortion clinic, they separated me from my parents. They took me back to a room, which they called counseling. And the only thing I remember them saying was that it was a clump of cells. And as a 13-year-old, I had no idea what abortion was. I honestly thought that we were at a doctor's office and that they were going to help me. So I didn't know any differently. And so when they asked if I was ready for the abortion, I just remember saying yes, not really knowing what was going to happen. And the first time I ever met George Crawford was when he came into the room and he just smiled at me and he said, "This won't take long." And it was like I was assaulted all over again. It was very traumatic. It was very painful. And I remember just screaming for help. And him just telling me to shut up. And years later, I found my mom's journal, and her journal, she had wrote that she could hear me screaming and she wanted to go help me and they wouldn't let her come help me. And then when the recovery room, which is just a room full of recliners, vinyl, ugly recliners, there's no privacy, no one spoke to each other. And when it was time to go, I hemorrhaged and no one checked on me. And in fact, my dad had to pick me up and carry me out to the car. My mom, she ended up having a mental breakdown and she was out of the home for 2 weeks. My dad, he eventually left our family, and our family just fell apart. And when I was 16, I got pregnant again, and Planned Parenthood had come into our school. And I trusted them. I thought they were going to help. So I went for a pregnancy test and I found out that I was pregnant. And they said, "You're young, you're poor, you're in school, you should abort your baby." And I knew what abortion was at that time. And I knew that I would not abort the baby. I didn't care if I had to do it alone. And so when we got into the car, my boyfriend, now husband of 27 years, he had grown up in the church, but they never talked about abortion. So he said, "What do you think about aborting this baby?" And I shared my story for the first time. And he just looked at me and he said, "I don't know how we'll figure it out, but we'll figure it out." And we chose life in the parking lot of Planned Parenthood.
Well, that's a good ending to that part of the story. You went through so much and it destroyed your family, it sounds like.
It did. It never undid the trauma. It just added more trauma. And it's something that the abortion clinics would not tell. They don't tell anybody that. They just, you know, it's a rapist baby. But you know what? That baby has a purpose. And God has a plan for that baby. And God wants to heal our hearts from the trauma of someone assaulting us. And just being able to have those resources and know that truth is pretty powerful.
Well, Serena, we've had other people on as guests who have talked about actually going through a rape and choosing life. But that was a mother who was mature and her kids were grown and there was a family support unit there. I can imagine that if you're already struggling as a family with other things, that it probably was what they thought was best for you. I do hope that you were able have been able to love your mom and your dad in spite of some of the things you went through as a child.
Yeah, so that's a big part of the healing process for me is forgiveness, right? So for me, I just really went through a season after just really being broken and running from God and really having a moment with the Lord where he met me and just lavished me in his love and just finding his grace in that. but also him taking me through the process of forgiving my parents, forgiving the abortionist, forgiving my rapist. And it wasn't to say any of that was okay, but it was to take a hook out of my own heart, because I had been drinking the poison of unforgiveness, and what it was doing was killing me, but it wasn't hurting anybody else but myself. And so going through that process was just so powerful, to be able to extend forgiveness and understand that, you know what, I'm not responsible for other people's reactions and what they do, and also giving me new eyes to see them as broken people and to pray for them. Because for me, you know, my parents, I could understand, like, they thought they were doing the best they could. And for the abortionist, like, I had a lot of hate in my heart. But for God to give me new eyes to really see them as broken people in need of a savior really was a huge part of my healing.
Wow, this is a very passionate story that we're hearing today, and I hate to take a break, but we're going to. This is a very hard story, and it's a hard story to hear, but our listener, I know, is praying for you. So we'll take a quick break and come right back.
Thank you for joining us today for the conversation on Choose Life Radio. We'll get back to Jill and her guest in a moment, but first, I'd like to share a special opportunity. Abby Johnson, Jill's guest from a few weeks back, has written a book, Unplanned, and from that book, a feature-length film has been produced. For your generous gift today of $45 or more to Choose Life Radio, we'll send you a copy of the book Unplanned or a copy of the DVD featuring Ashley Bratcher, a young actress with a story of her own. The book or DVD will inspire you as you see Abby's story unfold and the way God absolutely changes her life. And because of Abby's work at Planned Parenthood, she knows better than anyone the human cost of abortion. And the book is also a testament to God's faithfulness. So for your generous gift of $45, we'll send you a copy of the book or the DVD. And for your gift of $80 or more, we'll send you both the book and the DVD. You decide. Simply go online to ChooseLifeRadio.com and click on Donate. Make your gift, and make sure to let us know in the comments section which thank you gift you'd like. This is a limited time offer, so make your gift today. That's ChooseLifeRadio.com, or you can send a check. Our mailing address is Choose Life Radio, Post Office Box 36622, Canton, Ohio, 44735. That mailing address and all the details are available to you now at ChooseLifeRadio.com.
So welcome back to Choose Life Radio. I'm Jill Taylor, your host, and we are with Serena Dykeson, who has shared a really poignant story. If you haven't had a chance to be with us on the first half, please go back to our website, ChooseLifeRadio.com, and look this up, because I think it's a story that you would want to share if you know of someone who has experienced a rape, an abortion. They're both terrible things to experience, and to experience them as a young girl is really hard. We want to know this story. We want to be able to educate people, and we want to be able to encourage them to make life choices. So, Serena, would you tell us a little bit about the story of Dr. Clauffer?
Yes. After I went through the abortion and also choosing life, I wanted to forget about that clinic. It was not something that we wanted to remember. So we kind of went on with life the best we could. And it wasn't until a friend had invited me to, let me back up. I actually had gone through my healing process of my rape, which during that time, right before that time, my family, my personal family with my husband and kids, our family kind of fell apart because of my unhealed wounds of my abortion and my rape. And so just when I had an encounter with the Lord and started doing my healing process, I went through the healing of my rape, but never my abortion, because I just wanted to forget what happened at that clinic. And there was a real fear. My counselor at the time attended my church, and my fear was that if I told him about the abortion, then he would go back and tell people in my church, and that was just terrifying to me. Mm-hmm. So I kind of got into ministry, and someone had invited me to go to see the movie Unplanned, and I didn't know what that movie was. I had never heard about it. And so when I went to that movie, I was like watching my life unfold in front of my eyes. And I just heard the Holy Spirit say, now's the time to tell the rest of your story. And I wasn't sure how I was even going to tell my story. The first people I've reached out to was Michiana Right to Life. And I just wanted to go out to the abortion clinic to help the ladies choose life. That was my heart at that time. And so I went for sidewalk counseling training, and I was asked to go through abortion healing, which I did. But it was in that time frame that I was still going out to the clinic, and I just felt it laid on my heart that I was supposed to have a memorial service for post-abortive men and women. And so I started planning it. And the night before the memorial service happened was the night that the news broke of George hoarding all the 2,411 babies in his garage. And it was like I had been sucker punched. I was like, what in the world? Like, it was horrific. Mm-hmm. And so that night I crawled into bed and I just began praying. And I was like, one of my first questions that I asked the Lord was, is one of the babies mine? And I just heard the Holy Spirit say, your baby and all the babies are with me. And why do you think I asked you to share the rest of your story? And so that just started, I started connecting with other women who had gone to that clinic as well. And we've been trying to help them find their healed voice so that they can speak out and help others choose life. And, that's really our mission right now, and really what I feel that God has called me to do. We can't forget what happened at that clinic. Like, it's happening every day, but you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. That was horrific. It's horrific, and we can't forget that.
Right. Right. And he had passed away, and his family, I believe, found all of this. Imagine their shock to walk into that house and to find in his trunk of the car. It's just unbelievable. It's just so sick, which almost defines someone who feels that's a great occupation for him, to pull babies apart and kill them. So, Serena, that's a tough, tough story to tell, and I really appreciate it. One of the things that you are doing that kind of boggled my mind a bit is that you love to speak in churches when given the opportunity. And I'm listening to this story and thinking, I don't think that I know of a church that could handle this story. So do you obviously think this is a good topic for Christians to hear. How do you handle it?
So I do go into churches and I do speak, and I find that people are drawn into my story, and I share it in a sensitive way, because I know that there are, one in four women go from the church pew to the abortion clinic. And so I know that there are women that are sitting in our churches that are wounded. I know that there are women who are scared and they're not sure how their church is going to respond to an unplanned pregnancy. And so we just really feel like our story breaks down so many different pieces of the puzzle for the church. And so we want to go into the church, share my story, but not only share my story, but we have a solution for the church to help them in their healing process. And our organization, not only do we have access to women who've had abortions in their past, we can get people plugged into if they've been sexually assaulted. We have 27 different community groups that we can offer in the church. And so that's really our heart, to see church members healed and also give them tools of how to be a pro-life church. The church, when I was pregnant at 16, they didn't let me sit in my sin, but they were awesome about helping us. They held a baby shower for us. They helped us find housing. They gave us tools. And so the church really has a huge impact on helping women choose life, helping fathers be good fathers, really being a holistic approach to helping people choose life.
Hmm. You have a great quote on your, I think it's your Facebook of She Found His Grace. And it said, "The church has the answer for abortion. There are those in the body hurting. We are told in 1 Corinthians 12 how the body works. Our role as a ministry is to bring healing to the post-abortive members of the body. Invite us in, church. We care for you." And then the quote is from 1 Corinthians 12:26. "If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." I think that's picture perfect for reasoning with a pastor. You got a quick story that's kind of funny about a pastor who was going to give you 5 minutes. I remember going into churches for the ministry of the pregnancy centers, and it drove me crazy when they'd say, "Okay, you've got 3 minutes. Go ahead and wrap it up." I'd go, three minutes? Okay. "Hi, my name's Jill. It was nice to be here." Tell our listener what a funny story that is that you have to share.
Yeah, so I was invited to speak at a church, and I got to the church, and the pastor's wife comes up, and she's like, "You know, you have 10 minutes. And I'm thinking, 10 minutes? How am I going to tell my story in 10 minutes? How am I going to, you know, wrap this up so that, you know, there's ways for this church to be pro-life?" So I'm like, oh my goodness. And I'm going to be honest, I was a little bit ticked off, if I'm going to be honest. And I thought, this is the problem. But I started praying. I was like, "God, okay, all right, I'm going to lay this at the foot of the cross. And God, I just ask you to show up and show off." And I forgot to mention that the pastor had come up and actually said, after his wife said the 10 minutes, the pastor came up and said, "Hey, did my wife talk to you about how much time you have?" And I said, "Yes." And he goes, "Well, she wanted to give you more time than I wanted to." And that's where I got so ticked off, because I was like, whoa, are you kidding me? So I just started praying. And so we're in the service and we are singing praise songs. And we sing the last praise song, and he gets up and he asks them to sing it again. And he gets up and he says, "You know, the Lord spoke to me and said that we have the gospel forever, but we only have this moment once. And he gave me the whole service."
Wow.
And it was amazing.
Oh, I'll bet it was. I'll bet it was. And I'll bet there were people who got a chance to talk to you afterwards that shared how much you meant to her.
You know, it was one of those moments where there were husbands crying, there were wives crying, there were siblings crying, there were all these people that had been affected by abortion, which he had said before, "I don't think anybody in our church has ever had an abortion." And here we have multiple people coming up that had been affected by abortion. And the last person I talked to, he said, "You know," he said, "I love kids so much." And he said, "I get so angry at women who have an abortion." He goes, "But can you teach me how to be compassionate so I can reach them?" And I thought that was so powerful, because we need that compassion.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to repeat again the website, She Found His Grace. And it's a great website, and you've got a unique way of getting people involved, especially in this COVID time, where you're putting groups together and they can connect and kind of walk through their journey together. We've got about a minute left. Can you tell us about your system of how you're helping people?
Yes. Yeah, so if there's someone that's post-abortive or they have sexual assault in their past, they can reach out to us at shefoundhisgrace.org, and we can get them connected to a community group. We do monthly Zoom calls. We have our own little private app where we're able to connect. And also, we do our post-abortive healing in those community groups as well. And if there's a family that is facing the same situation as I did, you can reach out to our website. We're happy to help you. Or if you're a mom that is needing help, you're facing an unplanned pregnancy and you need help, you can reach out and we can help you with that as well.
Well, Serena Dykeson, it has been a pleasure to have you here with us today, and you have given us a ton of information and a story that is heartbreaking, but also you have allowed God to make it beautiful. So I thank you for that. You can come to ChooseLifeRadio.com and hear this whole interview and share it with someone, because it's so important that we get the word out. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you. It was such a pleasure and an honor.
It was wonderful to hear Serena mention the movie Unplanned. That is a very special movie for people who want to understand better what the abortion issue is about. So you can go to our website again, chooseliferadio.com, and there's information there about a really special offer we're making right now. I'd love to have you have her book, Abby's book, or her movie, the DVD, Unplanned. So check it out at chooseliferadio.com. We need your help, on the other hand. Just think about how that message helps someone else who's listening who's not a Christian. And as you think about that, would you be willing to consider supporting this ministry? You can do that by going to our website and pushing the donate button. It's so simple for those who understand computers. And for those who don't, we have a post office box, 36622, Canton, Ohio, 44735. That's post office box 36622, Canton, Ohio, 44735. I'm Jill Taylor, and let's meet again next week at Choose Life Radio.
The preceding program was sponsored by the Choose Life Radio Network of Canton, Ohio.